Today's show is sponsored by Howl.fm. It's like Netflix for podcasts. With Howl Premium, get exclusive access to dozens of Howl original miniseries like Besser Breaks the Record, Need I Say More? Like The Mysterious Secrets of Uncle Birdie's Botaninarium. I don't know how to say that word, but, you know, it's funny because it's by Jemaine Clement from... Bing, that's it, from Flight of the Conchords. It's like no other podcast you've ever heard. Access it on your iPhone, Android, web, only $4.99 a month. Use the promo code IMPROV at checkout. You get a full month free. That's Howl.fm. Welcome to Improv for Humans with me, Matt Besser. Humans, we have some of the best improvisers here in the universe. Pam Murphy, Neil Casey. And let's just jump right into this, guys. Sometimes I just like to get right into it. What pisses you off about your neighbors the most? What pisses you off about your neighbors the most? Do you have neighbors, Pam?
Oh, yeah. I live in tenement housing.
Do you live in an apartment?
I do.
Do you live below someone?
I do. That's exactly it. I do. And I don't know what's happening up there. It's new people. My last neighbors, upstairs neighbors, they moved out. But the guy used to do... on the balcony, like, some kind of weird calisthenic exercise, like jump up and jump down as hard as he could. I don't know if he was holding a cowbell, but it would shake my entire apartment, and it was in the middle of the afternoon when I was sleeping, you know, I'd be taking a nap, and it would be, like, every day around 3, and it was just so loud, and it was driving me crazy, and they were also, you know, heavy walkers, and then I just... told the manager of my building, I was like, I don't know what's happening. The guy is like jumping as hard as he can on the balcony and it shakes my entire apartment. And my manager was like, it's just a woman who lives there. And I was like, no, it's not. There's a guy and a lady. And I see him. I see him doing this exercise.
Oh, you know for sure it's an exercise.
Oh, yeah. I see him like jump up and then jump down as with full force as hard as he can. And then the guy called and he's like, he called the woman and was like, are you in your apartment? There's jumping. You can't do that. And so then they stopped doing that. The guy stopped doing that jumping. Cause I was like, why doesn't he just go outside? There's an exercise room. There's a tennis court. There's like all stuff. Can't he just do that exercise outside? And, but they stopped doing it. And then it made me think like, oh, they're walking even harder now, like regular walking. They're just being like, but I don't know. Maybe it was my imagination. I was like, what did I do?
What was the term you used? Hard walkers? What'd you say?
I think so. Heavy walkers?
Heavy walkers.
Heavy walkers, yeah.
Danielle is a heavy walker, my wife.
Oh, really?
I think that means you you hit your heel
yeah.
first when you walk.
Yeah.
And the people below us when we lived in New York hated us. But the funny thing is they would write little notes to us and put it on our door and assume stuff, which is why I questioned if you actually had seen him exercising, because they would say the same thing. Stop jumping up and down. It's your treadmill is loud. We didn't have a treadmill. Your laundry machine, like all this stuff we didn't have that they were saying, your laundry machine broke and there's water coming through my roof. That was another thing, blaming us for a pipe thing that had nothing to do with us. But they would always assume, but the only thing we were guilty of was the heavy walking.
Once the heavy walking starts, then it's like maddening. It's like, what are they doing up there? You know, and then you like, you know, you create these fantasies in your mind. But that I was like, I saw him doing it. And he would also, you know, he would be like, you know, when he's doing his exercises. It was like the whole thing was awful.
I have a guy next door to me who just doesn't like music, and he's a very nice guy and he's always very polite. But if I'm doing the dishes, one time I put the radio in the window while I was doing dishes, and he came over right away. He was like, "I'm sorry, can you not have that radio in the window? It's just it's coming right into my kitchen." Okay. Sure,
I'll put into it. My kitchen like it's a mist.
It, you know, it's not that if it's really if, but if the acoustics are such that that's loud, okay, I grant that. You know, fine. So I put it somewhere else, and then just like a couple days later, like 4 or 5 days later, I have my alarm clock just turns the radio on, which is not that big a deal, right? It's just an alarm clock at 8 o'clock. The radio comes on, and I start my day. You know. And he came, that the alarm clock just turned on, and it was just like some like jazz or something. It was like I think the LA Jazz Channel instrumental, and I just hear the next door open and slam, and he comes over and bangs on my kitchen door, and I'm just waking up, and I walk over and I go, "What?" And he's like, "That jazz, man, that's so loud." I was like, "Okay, I guess so," you know. But doesn't complain about anything else. We might be loud, we might not be. I don't think we are, but it's just the music triggers it. Like he hears the tune and he's like, "This has got to stop."
Hi.
Hi, how are you doing, Pam?
I'm good.
I'm John from downstairs.
Oh, yeah. I saw it. Yes. How's it going, John?
Well, I don't want to be that guy, but do you have – it seems like you're, from what I can tell, you're doing some kind of saxophone rehearsal every morning at 6 a.m. right on the dot. You just – and it seems like you just start right in the middle of a song abruptly and – can you maybe not rehearse your jazz? Some other place and not starting right in the middle of a song and at full volume.
I don't play the saxophone. I don't have a saxophone, so I don't play the saxophone.
I hear jazz every morning at exactly 6 a.m. And it starts right in the middle. Sometimes it's not even sax. It's I don't know all the jazz instruments, okay? But it's a jazz song right in the middle of the song, really loud, and you usually do it for like only a minute, and then sometimes there'll be a pause for like 2 minutes.
Oh.
And then you'll rehearse again for 30 seconds, then you'll pause and then decide to rehearse another. And it's a completely new song. At least when you rehearse, practice the same song.
Oh, you know what? I think you're hearing my alarm clock.
Mm-hmm. That's what you're going to say?
That's what I think that you're hearing. I think you're hearing my alarm. But, I can set it to a different station if you don't like jazz. It's my alarm clock.
Let's not lie to each other. I'm not musically inclined. Well, I am, and I can tell it's rehearsal because it's not very good jazz.
Uh-huh.
It's obviously you, Pam. Okay. Just admit it and just maybe rent out a space.
Right. I don't. It's not a saxophone.
The next day.
Hi.
Okay. Just to be nice, I'm going to say thanks for not doing a jazz rehearsal.
Okay. I never did that, John. I never had a jazz rehearsal here, and certainly not at 6 a.m. But
today, I hear you doing an impression of the ocean or something. Or maybe you're playing in your bathtub. I heard waves.
But
it was why? Do you work for NPR? Why would you? What is this? And once again, you would rehearse for a minute, pause for 2 minutes, rehearse again, or whatever you call it.
Actually, I set my alarm just to the wave sound so that it wouldn't disturb you. So that was actually my alarm clock again. And it's just, wait,
I thought your alarm clock played to jazz radio station, Pam.
Right.
Can you not blame everything? Is this sex sounds? That's just masturbation sounds.
No, it's not masturbation sounds. Excuse me. No.
We all masturbate. I'm not trying to shame you. I'm just saying it. Are you loudly?
No, I'm not. It's my alarm clock, okay? It's my alarm clock. You complained about the jazz, so I changed it to the weight. There's settings for noise, you know?
Noise, exactly. That's the first thing we've agreed on.
Yeah.
Is that you're creating noise.
Right. It's my alarm clock. I'm sorry. I have to get up early. I work at the hospital.
Why can't you have just a normal alarm?
Oh, okay.
Where the hammer goes back and forth between two bells.
All right. Well, I could set it. I mean, I have an electric alarm clock.
I know you're masturbating, Pam, I don't want to go any further with the charade. No, oh, really? What are your masturbation sounds?
Going to do my masturbation sounds.
You know, if you did, they would sound like waves.
No, that's not what it sounds like, okay? It's not, all right? Fine. If you want to hear my masturbation sounds, I'll prove it to you, okay? When I masturbate, it sounds like... So that's what it sounds like when I masturbate. And you've never complained about that sound.
That sounded like an alarm clock.
Okay.
Are you trying... I see what you're doing. You're trying to do an impression of an alarm clock. So tomorrow, you can say that's what it is when you're masturbating.
No, I wasn't doing that. That wasn't my... You know what, John? I'm just going to move out.
Let us hear some questions submitted by our listeners.
I like the questions when we get that from the fans, from the humans. I'm going backwards. What did you do with a BA in English? Mm. I didn't have that, but did either of you guys?
Yeah. I have a BA in English. I went to school for computer engineering, and then I started taking classes at UCB in New York. I was commuting up from my state school at the University of Delaware, and then all my friends and stuff started getting on Herald teams, so I needed to wrap up my college career in 3 years instead of four. So I was able to finagle it, take some winter classes and summer classes and stuff, and escape with the low-hanging fruit of the BA in English, and then a minor in computer science. So what I did with that initially was I went to work at a publishing company as a computer programmer. So it was a nice combination. I matched the tone of the people at the publishing company because everybody was sort of a liberal arts person, but then I was there as a computer programmer. So I found a nice balance.
Fucking he nailed it. He's both major and minor, Pam.
I know.
What'd you major in?
Oh, boy. Now we're going to go down this road.
You don't want to go down this road?
No, I'll go down
this road. Did you fail out of college? You didn't go to college?
Kind of, yeah, yeah.
You went to Trump University?
Yeah, I did. I went to school hard knocks. I got an associate's degree in liberal arts because I was like, I'll go to community college.
Uh-huh.
And then I'll go to a university, right? So I only have to – it would be cheaper to do that. And then – so I got a liberal arts – associate's degree. And then like my first semester I was working like full time, and then I got promoted. And then like my first semester I got promoted, and then I was like, ah, fuck this. I'm not gonna go to college anymore. I'm gonna just work.
I don't even understand. Promoted in what?
I got promoted. I worked at a mortgage company, and I worked my way up from, I was like a temp. Like I started there as a temp at a mortgage company. And then, so I worked my way up, and I was like I started as a file clerk, and then I was like an underwriter. Then I got promoted to like a salesperson.
Underwriter? That's really fucking hard.
Well.
You could do all that?
Yeah, they teach you how to do it. That's why I learned that.
Isn't that like major math?
I mean, you know the formula. It's not that hard.
Uh-huh.
You know, now they have like computers that basically tell you what to do, and especially there's like so many regulations now.
Mm-hmm. What did you want to major in?
Anthropology.
Yeah?
Yeah, anthropology.
Why?
I don't know, because I guess I thought it was interesting. I don't know. I thought it was interesting. And then I was living in New Mexico, and that was like a
good— Where?
In Albuquerque.
Oh, interesting.
And so the University of New Mexico, UNM, had like a good anthropology department.
Hmm.
So I was like, oh—
That's the study of humans.
Yeah. And then I—
but what fascinated you the most about that?
I liked linguistic anthropology. I don't know. That's what I thought was interesting, I guess.
The study of the development of languages through history?
Yeah.
Did you go up to Banff Park? Is that what it's called? The old caves? You said you were in Albuquerque, right? Did you go to the old pueblos, the old caves and the cliffs?
No, I didn't really, no.
So what kind of linguistics were you studying?
I mean, not that many. But I thought, what I thought was interesting was Gaelic. That's what I wanted to study. I wanted to study, like, the Irish language in Ireland. And that's what I thought was interesting. Because in certain places, they still speak Gaelic.
Do you speak any?
I mean, barely. My parents speak Gaelic. My mom's from Ireland. So my mom speaks Gaelic, and they would teach Gaelic, like an adult language. And we would go to Ireland and like stay in a Gaeltacht, which is like an Irish-speaking or Gaelic-speaking part of Ireland. But that's what I thought was interesting. That's what I wanted to study. But then I sold out.
Did you see that article recently? They did a linguistic analysis of a lot of fairy tales and stuff and found out they're a lot older than they thought.
Oh, really?
They're like, they think Jack and the Beanstalk's like at least 5,000 years old.
Wow.
Yeah. That is a good lesson. That's a good fable, Jack and the Beanstalk.
Yeah.
It's interesting, and it is
it's basically about use your family's budget well. Like, what's the basic
Don't get lesson. Ripped off at the market unless you're sure it's going to be cool.
Yeah, but I guess he got suckered, but he didn't get suckered. Everyone thought he got suckered.
Right.
Because it was magic.
It was magic.
But did it all work out for him in the end? He got a golden goose, but then the giant came after him, right?
I know, but then he killed, then he chopped down spoiler alert, he chops down the beanstalk.
And the giant died?
Yeah, and the giant dies, right? he slays the giant.
Hello?
Are you Jack?
Yeah.
Is your mom home?
Yeah.
I'm going to need to interview you, but I'm going to have to do it in front of your mother. You Jack's mother?
Yes. Hi. Can I help you?
May I come inside? I'm the sheriff.
Oh, well then, yes. Hello. I hope Jack hasn't gotten into any trouble.
Yes. I don't know if your son's told you. Oh, I see the golden goose over there. Okay, that is gonna. I'm gonna talk to you about that in a second. Jack is guilty of murdering a giant. Did he tell you he murdered a giant?
Well, yes, but
let's start from the very beginning. What happened?
Okay. It wasn't. Can I just say it was in self-defense?
The giant was chasing me, and then he tripped.
No. Do you call not all of a sudden having a rope tripping or not having stairs?
He tripped and fell.
That's not how it works. Let's start from the beginning on this.
Can I just say, the giant was coming after my son, okay?
This is not the beginning. How did you meet the giant? How did you get there?
He exclaimed,
"The beanstalk.
Fee, fi, fo, fum, I smell the blood of an Englishman," and he wanted to kill and eat my son. He was eating other humans.
From what I understand, you were trespassing in his lair, and under our laws, if you are trespassing, you can use lethal force. Now, and you stole his golden goose. Is this all true?
I don't think our laws apply in the clouds.
I agree.
Right. It's the laws of the clouds, which I have no jurisdiction over.
Well, then we're agreed. Thank you, sir.
But he was murdered below the clouds on the way down the beanstalk. Once you get below the clouds, you're in my land, and I got a dead giant.
Well, I'm going to argue
which that— Which is rotting, and no one's taken care of. You just left the giant there, by the way,
well,
for the municipality to clean up, I guess.
I thought he would be fine.
What do you mean by that?
I thought when I chopped it down, he would fall, and he'd be fine, and he'd just—
He'd just grow. Float?
I don't know. I figured he'd hit the ground. I mean, he's a giant, you know, and—
It's still a long way. It's all the way from the clouds.
Well, he could just grow another beanstalk and go home.
He could have landed on his feet.
He's not a cat. He's a giant. Giants are notoriously clumsy. He landed on his head.
Well, I
suffered severe trauma. From what the doctors say, if you had contacted the emergency room, they could have saved him, but he suffered for a half a day with a broken neck.
Well, if they're notoriously clumsy, it should make sense that he tripped.
There was no beanstalk there. It's like taking away someone's stairs they and saying they tripped. If there's not a stair there.
Well, maybe an owl came and knocked him off the beanstalk.
Ooh, maybe an owl came.
Maybe an owl came.
Is that what happened? An owl came?
I don't know. I wasn't.
You cut down. We looked in your cart and we found the saw and we saw beanstalk all over your saw blades. When you want to say that you didn't saw the beanstalk?
Since when is it illegal to saw a beanstalk?
It's not. It's not.
It's harvest.
And who's to say when
it's
he's
the fall.
He may have sawed the beans.
You're saying you were harvesting that beanstalk because the beans are still in stock.
Yeah, I was harvesting the beanstalk.
The beans are still on the stalk.
We're letting them dry. Well, we're going to let them dry and then we're going to can them.
Right. And my son had no idea that the giant was on the beanstalk. When,
really?
And who's to say when the beanstalk was cut? Before
I thought
the
you
fall
said you heard
fee
fi fo fum. Mm-hmm. He started chasing
oh,
you, but you didn't
did
know
happen.
He was on the beanstalk.
No, that definitely no. happened. Yeah.
How do you know? You weren't there.
I believe my son.
I went up. I found the goose. I took the goose.
What do you mean
I
you came? Found it?
I found
you
it.
You can't find something on someone else's property. You stole it.
You can't find things on someone else's property?
It's not finding it. It's stealing it.
No, it's not stealing. Not in the clouds.
If I took your wallet from your pocket, am I finding your wallet?
That's pickpocketing. This goose
right.
was just hanging around the clouds. Who says that a goose – if a goose lands in your backyard, is it your goose?
Yes, possession.
Yes, but that's not what happened. You took it from his castle.
Right, but the goose was just passing through his castle. The goose was on his way out anyway.
I don't know about that.
I was helping the goose do what it was going to do anyway, which is leave the castle.
Okay, can I just get back to, you know, the day in the market, okay?
I would like to go back to the day in the market.
Okay, I'd like to just get back
Wednesday.
To
Wednesday.
Okay.
It was Wednesday in the market.
It was Wednesday, and
now,
I went to the market.
How did you get access to the giant beanstalk is
See, this
all
is, a good point.
Is where we need to start.
This is a good point.
I took our cow down to the market to sell our cow because our cow sucks. It wasn't given any milk. It was just a dumb cow. Nobody liked it.
Are you sure you weren't over milking it? That's a common problem that leads to that if you'd given it a
I
little
wasn't.
Time.
I don't think I was.
My son would never over milk a cow.
I took it to the market and nobody was giving me anything for this cow. So a guy said, I'll give you some beans. They're great beans. And I said,
You made it all the way to the market? Because I talked to someone down at the market. They said they didn't see any cows at the market.
Right. No, a guy on the way. I was on the way to the market. I was near
the
market. Oh, like,
so you never made
market.
It. So no, you never even took any offers for
I
the cow.
I could see the market. You know, I was close enough to it. It was sort of on the outskirts where the food is.
Yeah, my son.
Did you know that he didn't make it to the market?
Well, yes. I found out later that he didn't make it to the market. Yes, I knew that.
So no offers were put. You never took it to any of the local ranchers,
look,
any of the slaughterhouses to see if they would put a bid in
well,
on.
You know, I thought that the cow, I think Jack made the right decision not selling it to a slaughterhouse. I would hate to see that cow slaughter.
I would be happy to see the cow slaughter. It's a terrible cow.
Your friend Francine, mm-hmm. who I interviewed earlier today.
Okay.
Said that you were quite angry.
Well, I wouldn't
quite angry.
Well, I wouldn't say angry
at you know. The group Cotton Weave.
Well,
about your son not selling the cow at the market, and well, now you're telling me he made the right decision.
Well, Francine is very dramatic. Okay, she's very dramatic. She's a very dramatic person. Mm-hmm. You know, I think we all remember, you know, her recount of the stained glass incident.
We do.
Okay, so it was very dramatic. You know she likes to spin tales.
Okay, so, well, her husband died of leprosy recently, so
right.
Well, let's give her a break.
Oh, okay, so now we're all supposed to bow down to her.
Anyway, you're saying that you were not upset at your son for not making it all the way to market and buying magic beans instead?
At first, I will say I was disappointed, maybe confused. But when Jack said that I was given these magic beans, they're magic.
Magic.
Okay.
They're magic. So therefore, under the laws of magic, don't we have a right to that golden goose?
I'm going to ask you something. Let's say your neighbor next door, the Middletons, let's say that their tree from that their oak, the branch stretched all the way through one of your windows. And Mr. Middleton used that branch to crawl into your house. Could he take whatever he wanted and that's okay?
Well, first of all, we would cut that branch before it even got to the window.
And did the branch grow because of just natural tree stuff or was it magic?
Makes a difference. Yes. Let's say it was a magic branch.
Then he can come in and take whatever he wants.
He can do whatever he wants.
Well, under what logic?
Especially a bird in transit.
You see some kind of... What?
If he came in and took our books or took some money from us or something, you know, sure, we might have a case. But if he just crept in and there happened to be a bird in transit through our house,
we've inspected the giant's lair. It was not easy reconnecting the beanstalk, by the way, to get back up there. And there was a nice little roost built for the golden goose. So how can you say he was in transit?
We have a birdhouse in our yard. Birds don't live here.
Right. We're just their shepherd? No, that's not the word.
You have a flop sweat.
They're just our... what is the word?
Are you okay?
Yeah, no, I'm fine.
Look at this goose. Look at how much this goose likes me.
Do we need a barrister here? Do we have to get a barrister?
A solicitor.
A solicitor.
You're calling for a solicitor now?
We haven't been, you know.
I'd like to take a look at the golden goose. He doesn't look healthy.
Look how much he likes me.
Are you over forcing the golden eggs?
What?
You force it. How many golden eggs is this thing pushing out a day?
12 or 13.
Oh my God, that is way too many.
Well, that's what happens.
What do you mean, what's what happens?
Well, it's a magical goose, so therefore it's going to lay a magical amount of golden eggs.
If it lays fewer than 12 eggs, it's so disappointed in itself, it wants me to beat it.
Yeah. What? Yes, that's what's happening.
If it lays fewer than 12 eggs, the goose is so disappointed in itself that it walks out to the yard and wants me to kick it around a little bit.
Okay. Magical or not, I'm going to have to get Medieval Humane Society on this.
Okay.
Okay.
We will be coming back later in the day. Good day.
Oh, God. We got to kill that goose. We got to kill that goose, Jack.
Why would we kill it? It's going to keep laying eggs, right?
Thus started the phrase, why kill the golden goose? Just to say, a bigger old speech, cut that crazy shell leash. Humans, you got to watch this new show on CISO.com. Yes, I'm in it. Otherwise, I probably wouldn't even promote it. But, I'm barely in it, and I'm still supporting it. Bajillion-dollar properties. Pam, you're in an episode.
Yes, I am.
Describe the show to our listeners.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you're familiar with those...
million-dollar properties kind of shows.
Yeah. So this is a...
Parody?
Parody. That's what I call it. I'd say it's a parody of those shows. It's very funny. A lot of improv in the show, right? Did you improvise a lot?
Fuck yeah. When do I not improvise? I don't even know how to read, Pam. Do you know that?
Oh, no. That's
why I've gotten...
That's so sad. That's
good at improv, because I can't fucking read. Well, what else? So it's on CISO.com. $3.99 a month for not just that show, but millions of shows. The UCB show, which you're also in, Pam, doing a huge funny bit that I think you've been honing for a couple of years.
Couple years?
Is that not true?
Well, maybe.
It's a solid bit is what I'm saying. Oh, you took that as an insult almost. Thank you.
Oh, well, yeah, I was like, you've been doing the same old bit for years, Pam. What's
the bit I did on the show was probably 3 years old.
You've been doing that same bit for 3 years.
Here's what I'm trying to say. Pam is defensive about anything you say to her. You'll say hello, and she'll be, what do you mean, hello? I think it's goodbye.
That's true. I need to work on
but
that.
I don't like shows where it seems like the person's put it up fucking three times.
Right.
That's what drives me crazy.
Yeah, these well-rehearsed,
every
perfected.
Bit is a fucking honed bit.
Mm-hmm.
Honed bit.
Yep. Honed to the nines.
It's very funny. You sing in it.
Thank you so much.
I don't know why I'm supposed to be plugging bajillion dollar prizes. But humans, get CISA for that, for my special, for Cool Up Show, and Scott Aukerman also produces that show. I think Tom Lennon does. I could probably just read the copy, but I was trying to just be sincere about the whole thing. CISO.com, bajillion dollar properties.
Let's talk some more about that.
What is that phrase? Just don't kill the golden goose? That's a phrase, right? Is that from the same...
Kill the goose
fable.
That lays the golden egg.
Kill the goose. Don't kill the goose. Why would you want to kill it?
Well, that means to destroy something that is profitable to you.
You said you did it. So I'd say you killed the goose that laid the golden egg. Look what you did.
And is that from over pushing them or killing or getting the wrong thing out of the goose? Like you're eating goose meat, but you could have had golden eggs.
I think that's right.
Who did that? That's not the Jack and the Beanstalk fable, is it?
It must be. I think it comes from that, right? You killed the goose.
But he didn't do that, did he?
There's a lot of myths about a bird that lays golden eggs.
Did I attach that to Jack? He does steal a golden goose, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah. He definitely does steal a golden goose.
That's kind of a trope, isn't it? It's like a fairy tale trope.
Let's cut to a medieval writer's room. I don't know. We're really stuck on... So we got the king, and the queen is in a coma for whatever reason. We'll figure that out later. He has to give up the castle unless he can make his payment to the other king. I don't know.
I'm telling you, instead of the other king, make it a stepmother. Stepmother curses him. He owes the stepmother something. He's got to keep it secret from his wife in a coma. You know, it reads.
Didn't we use stepmother last year?
Hey, guys, how about, picture this, right? She's in a coma. The queen's in a coma.
For whatever reason.
For whatever reason. I don't know what happened. The king's, he's distraught, he's downtrodden, he's sad, he's sad, he's crying. He's crying so much, his tears land on a bird's nest. An egg cracks open, and boom, golden goose comes in, flies in, it grows.
Wait, you're flipping the whole
yet.
Golden goose
I'm not done
script?
Yet. I'm not done yet. The goose magically grows to like a full-size golden goose, lands on the queen's face.
Oh, Jerry.
Boom. Brings her back, lays a golden egg right in her mouth. She swallows it. Gulp.
Maybe.
Brings it back to life.
Maybe.
Brings it back to life.
Jerry.
Huh? Well,
yeah. You're always throwing too many tropes together.
All right.
We'll put a pin in
it. The golden goose, it lays the golden eggs.
Right.
It itself isn't golden.
Okay. It's a gold. Well,
it's a regular goose.
It's a regular goose.
Who says a goose can't be golden? We can have a golden goose. A goose made out of gold. Imagine that.
But then you don't need it to be alive.
Jerry, no offense, Jerry. You're a riddle guy. We hired you because you rattle off riddles and little ironic twists for the end.
Those are good, but when you put it, you don't put a trope on a trope. Have you ever heard that?
Yeah.
Don't put a trope on a trope.
Yeah, I heard that.
You put a hat on a joke.
What happens when you put a trope on a trope? I'll work on it. Yeah, I'll come up with another riddle.
We got some notes back from the network about this.
Just read them. God damn it.
Okay, we got some notes back here about the about the Cinderella thing here.
Okay.
So, what part about it?
They don't get it. They don't get how they don't get why anybody gives a shit. They don't get why, you know, she's
beaten down by her fucking stepsisters. Yeah, that's why we give a shit.
Yeah, but why? You know, it's like they
because they're older.
But that's they want all the stepsisters to be good looking and their stepmother to be good looking too.
The whole purpose. Throws glass against wall.
Okay,
God
look.
Damn it. The king doesn't get it, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he's making. Oh, go ahead. What?
All right. Okay, I think this is going to make everybody happy. It's going to solve a lot of problems
here. Is this for Cinderella?
Is this for Cinderella? Yeah. Okay. So, you know, it doesn't matter what the stepsisters look like. It doesn't matter. You know, why are they so mean to Cinderella? Why? Why? Because they're jealous, I guess, because she's pretty.
Yeah.
They could be attractive, but maybe they're jealous of Cinderella because she has a golden goose. Because she has a goose.
Is it a goose that lays golden eggs or is it actually golden?
It's made out of gold. It can be both. It's made out of gold and it lays golden eggs. Okay?
Well, she wouldn't need to live with her father.
All right. Okay. Okay. Okay.
It seems right, like we're taking away the whole story now. Now she's going to be as rich as the prince.
What about if...
a goose is made of gold, how does it move?
Well,
like, what does that look like? Is it like the Terminators, that it's like liquid silver?
Oh, yeah, that famous Terminator tail.
Should we work more on the Terminator fable? That's the one that does blow everybody's mind the most.
Yeah, people are nuts over that one.
Hey, what if...
John Connor.
Okay, let's say... Yeah, you got to go back in time, right? We got that.
Okay, let's just get back to Terminator plot. We're working so many stories, but John Connor goes back in time to get the golden goose. Now you have me saying it. The goose that lays the golden eggs. Because he knows that if the robots don't have enough money to build more robots, then there won't be a future where they control humans.
Right, right. So he's got to... Yeah, so he's got to go get rid of the golden goose. The golden goose who could possibly lay golden eggs, too.
He does. God damn it, Cherry.
That's all he does. It's a regular goose who lays golden eggs.
Hey, look.
And the wealth generated by the golden eggs is what allowed the robots to gain all their wealth and expand Skynet over the entire world.
If there's no money, you can't build Skynet.
Right.
If robots don't have access to money, that makes sense. That's the most logical part of this Terminator Golden Goose
story.
So
he goes back in time and he sees his mother, Sarah Connor, who's about to prick her finger on the sewing wheel.
Mm-hmm. And she's spinning golden thread. I think it's important that she spins golden thread, okay? It's important that she's spinning golden thread. Mm-hmm. Okay, so she's about to prick her finger.
She's about to prick her finger on the loom. Which is how she gets pregnant with John Connor, but none of her sisters believe her, so she has to go to Egypt where she finds a lamp which she rubs and prays for an end to the nuclear holocaust that she's seen a premonition of.
Guys, everyone knows good things come in sets of threes. What does that have to do with anything? Well, get this. March is the third month of the year. Also happens to be our friends over at Harry's third year anniversary as a business. And if you're new to Harry's, I got a special deal for you. This is razor blades we're talking about. These are expertly crafted five-blade German razors, a handle, shave cream, just for $10 with the offer code IMPROV. These guys are the Mercedes-Benz of blades. Let's be honest. You know, when I grew up, my parents drove around a Celica most of our life. And then my dad got a raise and he bought a Mercedes. And I was like, oh, man. These cars actually are significantly better. When you drive, you're like, ooh, this really is. And not to be snobby or sound snooty, Pam. You're looking at me like I was a snooty rich kid. But We drove the Celica and the Volvo most of my childhood, but then he got that Mercedes right around the time I was starting to drive, and it's a fucking smooth. Have you ever driven a Mercedes?
No, I haven't.
Oh, that's sad.
It is, isn't it?
High-end cars, they have this whole other feel when you drive them, and that's what Harry's razor blades are like. I didn't think, how could there be a difference? But then I tried Harry's, and there's a difference, Pam. Hmm. You don't have a beard. You don't know.
I believe there's a difference, though. I believe it.
It is. I say there's certain things you have to get the high end of. Don't cheat yourself, humans. Toilet paper, tequila, razor blades. Your razor blade can cut your skin, can hurt you. Why would you want a cheap one?
And that's your face, what you're presenting to the world.
Exactly. People judge you on your face. They judge the cover, folks. Harry's will give you $5 off your first order with the promo code IMPROV. Stop overpaying for a great shave. Go to harrys.com right now. That's harrys.com. Enter offer code IMPROV at checkout.
Let us hear some questions submitted by our listeners.
What's the meanest thing your parents ever said to you? Oof. Ask lazy-eyed Susan. I guess we know what the meanest thing they said to Susan was. That really didn't spring to mind.
Oh, my parents were never mean.
I mean...
my dad said the meanest stuff when he was senile towards the end because he didn't know what the fuck he was saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He once yelled at me for not knowing how to button up his sweater.
His sweater?
Yeah. He got really mad.
Yeah.
It's frustrating when you're old. Nothing?
I remember, I don't know, for some reason, this shouldn't mean to be mean, but we were in, I was little, like really little, and it was my mom and her sister, my aunt, and we were in New York. I don't even know what we were doing. I don't know, like we all, maybe going shopping or something. I don't know. It was like because my aunt lived in Long Island and we lived in New Jersey. And, you know, they get together and they moved from Ireland to like New York and had lived there for a long time before they got married. But it was those old yellow cabs, the like huge old kind. And they had like, they were huge. Or maybe because I was really little, it seemed huge. But they had like little stools too. I don't know if anyone has ever been in like a, they had, would have a big back seat and then like little tiny stools also in wow. the back seat for, I guess, to fit more people in. But anyway, they were talking and I feel like it was maybe one of the first times I'd been in New York or something. And, the fair thing, it used to be like a thing that would, you know, well, I guess.
Ferris wheel?
No, the fair on the,
oh, all right,
that
sorry.
Showed you the
yes,
fair.
Meter.
The meter. So it would change, you know, like every time you would go however far. And so I was like sitting on the stool and being like, it changed. It changed. It changed. It's more. It's more. Like every time it would change, I kept saying something. And my mom was just like, you know, I think she was like ignoring me for a while. And then she was just like, you don't have to tell me every time. And I was just like, oh, yay. I thought I was like doing a good job or something. And then I just felt foolish or silly. And I was just like, oh, okay. It was like, she didn't say anything mean, but it was just the way that she said it. Like, I was just like, I felt like I'm a dope, you know, but I was probably like, 4 or something, maybe. I was little. Oh, it's so good to see you.
Oh, hi there.
Oh, my gosh. It's been too long.
Oh, God. At least a couple of years. Seven or 8 years.
7 or 8.
That's
wow.
Crazy. I guess we just got out of sync because we used to both rent these beach houses across from each other the same weeks. And you know what? It was us, actually, because our son had a job and we couldn't come this week until now, you know, he got promoted out of it. So now we're back.
Oh, great.
Yeah. You got to come over. You got to come up, come over. We have some iced tea and, we'll just look at the ocean. We'll have a nice time.
Sure.
Yeah. Come on.
Okay.
Yeah. You remember John?
Oh, hi, John.
Hey.
Hi.
I got a new job.
Okay. Great. Good for you. I'm glad you could make it up this year. We missed you.
You want to know what my job is?
Sure.
I work at the beach next to the thermometer, and every time the temperature changes, I say that it's changed.
Mm-hmm. That's a promotion from what he was doing before.
Oh, good for you, John. That's great.
I was sweeping sand off the boardwalk before that.
Oh, okay. Well, it's great. It's great that you're...
It's pretty sandy up there.
Congratulations.
Change!
Kiss it, God.
It just changed.
Do you want some lemonade or iced tea?
Sure.
Okay, great. I'll be right back.
Change!
Oh, so I guess it's getting warmer.
Actually, it just went up a degree and went down. It's fluttering right now.
It's fluttering right now, yeah.
A lot of times it'll do that. It'll be like at 85 and just 85.5 to 86. But I keep my – oh, change!
Here you go.
85.
Here's some lemonade and some iced tea. Oh, I just got you both.
Thank you.
I didn't know which one you wanted.
Yeah. And I was going to call after you, but I...
John, just want some water?
Thanks. Yeah, it gets really hot.
I bet it does. Just
checking out the temperature.
Yeah, I believe it. They should give me a little umbrella here.
People need to know how hot it is.
But I guess if they gave you an umbrella, then
no, you can't have the thermometer under the umbrella.
Right.
Don't get a good read.
Right. Yeah. Good.
It needs to be precise.
Yes.
People depend on it. They look at the
change.
They look at the thermometer. They decide what they want to do based on the temperature, and they should be able to look back and verify that it's the same, you know. Mm-hmm. People get really disappointed if they look at the thermometer and it says 85.
Right.
And then they make a plan based on that, and then they look back and it's 86.
Exactly.
Right. I can see.
Oh, the funniest thing happened the other day. I was just telling Dad.
What?
Okay. So I'm down at the beach, and it's 84 degrees,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's coming. Everyone's coming because it's spring break, right? And everyone's bringing their surfboards down there. And all of a sudden, it was 82 degrees. It jumped 2 degrees down.
Oh, my gosh.
Can you believe that?
Wow. So then I guess you...
I yelled change twice.
Oh, okay. So it's per degree, even if it makes a...
Well, it doesn't jump that fast. You can see it traveling.
Oh, John.
Yeah?
John, look.
Oh, God damn it. Sorry. Damn it, change. I'm so sorry.
Oh, it's okay. You were telling me a story.
I'm sorry. No,
it's okay.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
He's going to have to go apologize to everyone on the beach. We should come with him so he doesn't get dehydrated.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, everybody.
It's okay.
It's fine.
Sorry.
We didn't notice. We weren't paying
attention. Sorry.
That's okay.
It's all right.
It's fine.
Later that night, John's off in the corner, and he's pouting. Damn it, I didn't see it when it changed.
John?
What is it? I'm practicing saying change even when it's not changing.
John, you can't beat yourself up all night. You missed a couple changes.
A couple? I thought it was just one. Maybe I'm not good at this, Dad. Maybe I should just go back to sweeping sand off the boardwalk.
No, listen to me.
What?
You have a bright future ahead of you. The change in your life is going up.
Thanks,
started
Dad.
Sweeping that boardwalk. Now you're a thermometer barker. Who knows? Who knows what dreams may come
for you, my boy? I hope to one day be on the stock exchange every time the Dow changes, I can be the one that says change, and all those important men and women, they'll know the economy, which way it's going.
Well, we have got to wait to hear from the New York Stock Exchange. So you sent in your application for that internship.
I did.
I just hope that they see.
We cut to an interview. And yes, for the last 7 summers, I've been working down at the beach yelling change for the temperature. So I think saying up or down for the stock exchange, I'm fully qualified for.
Well, let me tell you something. I was once like you, a barker, a thermometer barker.
You were a thermometer barker down at the boardwalk?
Yeah, that's how I got my start. You see, we lived in an alley, and my mother was a prostitute, and we didn't have much money. It was during the Great Depression, and I became a barker in order to pay for my family's meals. And now, look at me. I'm the president of this stock exchange.
Wow.
So I worked my way up.
That's great. So is this your way of saying I got the job?
Oh, no. You're an idiot. I just wanted to let you know. Hey!
He gets kicked out of the stock exchange and finds himself out on the streets of New York. Oh, I can't go back. My dad will be so ashamed. Gotta find some other kind of job.
Hey there, boy.
Hi.
You look pretty down in the dumps there, fella.
Well, I thought I was gonna get this job working on a stock exchange, saying up or down.
Up and down for every stock, huh?
Well, the market in general, but yeah, I guess they could do it for every stock, too.
They should. You know, there's nothing saying that you can't do that yourself.
What do you mean?
Well, I'm just a hot dog vendor out here, but I pay pretty close attention to the big board showing every stock going up or down. That's public knowledge, you know?
And you're saying, like, people would tip me for doing that? Like I set up, like, I put my hat out or something?
Well, I could loan you my bucket here. I rarely need it. It's for extra hot dog water.
Oh, what's happening over here? Oh, look at this. Oh, our first time in New York and this. Oh, look at this. Oh, oh, very good.
Oh, my. Yeah. What's he talking about? Is he talking about every stock or a particular stock?
Look at
the
down. Here you are.
Is that the NASDAQ?
And we cut to a montage of the seasons passing and the calendar flipping by year after year. And we see he's wearing better and better clothes, and his little hot dog bucket becomes a kiosk, becomes a store, and ching, ching, a person comes to the store and he's standing behind the counter. Can I help you? Welcome to Up or Down. How's the stock exchange?
Hi.
My name's John.
Hi, John. I was wondering if you could help me. I was wondering, how is the stock exchange?
Up!
Oh, thank you.
We've had three ups in a row.
Okay.
And we started the morning with a couple of downs, but we've had a nice steady stream. Wait a minute. Down!
Oh my gosh, I was here when it happened.
Yep. It's crazy how fast it moves. Okay, that'll be $400.
John, I don't know if you... if you remember me.
Let me have your credit card while we're discussing what this is going to be.
I was on spring break 1 year, and,
back at the shore?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I was wearing a sarong over my suit.
Okay, I don't see where this is going. Okay, can you put it in the chip slot? Just, you know what I'm saying? It has the new chip on the... There you go.
Oh, okay, yeah. That usually takes a while. The temperature changed. And you called out change.
Up!
Oh my gosh, I'm here again. And it's happening. And
I'm going to have to charge you for that extra while we were doing the transaction. That's okay. Now $450.
Okay. Oh, thanks. That's just $50 more. That's great. That's fine. And so I knew that I didn't need my sarong, and it saved my life.
How did it save your life?
Oh, because, it's kind of a roundabout But I went swimming with my friend Janice, and Janice left her sarong on in the water. I don't know why she didn't take it off.
She had an undertow happen.
She had an undertow, and it dragged her out. It took her with her sarong, drug her out to sea. There was nothing I could do. I survived. I survived. It was a strong undertow that day, and it was because I wasn't wearing my
sarong. Can you just sign right here?
Okay.
Mm. Okay, right. And you want your receipt?
Can you just email it to me, or?
You didn't set up for that.
Oh, okay, sure.
I can print it out.
Okay, print it out.
Okay, there you go. Well, I'm glad I helped you that day.
Yes, you saved my life. So $450 is a small price to pay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Thank you. I'm sorry. I was just kind of milling about, hoping it would change again while I was here and see if I could get it.
Well, I'd have to charge you.
Okay. Bye.
John, it's Dad.
Dad?
I've never visited you here in New York till today.
Dad, I'm so glad you're here. Glad you finally came. What made you change your mind?
I needed somebody to button up this fucking sweater for me.
Crap on YouTube.
Humans, let's crap on YouTube. What do we have here, Brett?
All right, this one sounds funny. It's called Grandmother Got a Tattoo. You would not believe this story.
It sounds like a country song. Who dropped it in there for us?
Charcoal City.
Thank you, Charcoal City. Maybe I should watch first before I thank them. Some of you guys.
Hey, Nanny.
Hi. Some time ago, I got together with my friends. We went bar hopping. Anyway, we got a little high, which is very unusual, but we got a little high. I don't drive, so the driver of the car, next thing I know, she pulls up in front of a tattoo parlor. I have never in my life been, this is a true story, by the way, I have never in my life been in a tattoo parlor. But they all go in, so I go in. Because we had a little too much to drink, we didn't care what was going on, so everyone had a little tattoo put on. They egged me on. I said, no, no, no. I can't do that. If I have a tattoo put on, they'll kill me. Put it where then no one can see it, and a small one. I said, all right. Well, then I want a little mouse. If I have to have anything long, a little mouse. The mice are small. And where can I have it? I'll have it up here. The upper part of my thigh. So there, nobody will see it. All right. So the tattoo artist did it. And then he said to me, look, I want you to check on it every couple of days. Make sure it's all right. And in a week, if it's fine, then you know you're okay. So that's what I had to do. So I checked on it after a couple of days. I went like this. And I checked on it after a couple of days. I give a look. It's gone.
What happened to it?
Not even there anymore.
What happened to it?
My pussy ate it.
Oh, my God. That was all a joke?
It's a joke.
Have you heard that one before?
No, but...
Did you see that coming?
It seemed a little... I was thinking while she was doing it, I was thinking, I miss sort of like that previous generation's ability to tell a long-form joke.
Oh,
that sort of performative
too.
Quality of it, because you never see it. And it is hokey, but you just never see it.
I fucking love that, too. That makes me think of Santa Fe, where my family used to go. We used to go to this lodge where people at night would hang out by the fire and tell jokes. Mm-hmm. And I remember sitting next to my dad and him telling me when this one guy, Sam Burford, was starting to tell a joke, he's like, now Sam knows how to tell a joke. And jokes, which you could tell in two, three sentences, he would put so much color and description. Those jokes always start with, there was this old boy. There was this old boy down in Dallas who, and it didn't even have to be an old boy or Dallas or whatever. And you'd think he's telling a story, and then you realize, oh, it's just a fucking joke.
Linguistic anthropology.
Yeah. It's so weird, right? The art of storytelling.
Grandpa, this is my friend Sarah. Tell that joke you told the other day.
No. Not sure.
It's the best joke.
Fit for a young woman's ears, this joke.
Oh, that's why. She's the funniest girl at our school. Tell the joke.
Funny girl, huh?
Yeah, I'm like, was about a class clown last year.
Okay. So, all right. Do you know a nice couple of jokes yourself?
Yeah.
Tell a joke.
Okay, fine. Wait.
Okay.
Seems give little... me a second. I'm just trying to think of one.
No, I've seen this. Because
they're usually like something's happening, and then I'll say like what's happening about it. You know, like
right.
Like
sort of observational.
Yeah, it's like okay, like say if someone trips in class or whatever, I'm like trip much.
And yeah, then she's like, good at sarcasm.
Yeah, and then like everybody like laughs. So stuff like that. So oh, I'm no, like I've the funniest. It.
Grandpa's more good at like jokes.
No, I'm familiar with her style, though. I have a lot of grandchildren, and they have a lot of friends.
Mm-hmm.
I'm familiar with the modern idea of people being funny in that when they observe other people, they become overwhelmed by their own superiority to what's happening.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah.
You sort of your own feeling of superiority over people around you washes over you in a way that makes you sort of seize up in a way that other people find funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've seen that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm familiar
like,
with that.
Like, okay, our friend Tommy, mm-hmm. he like forgot his Facebook login, and I was like, what a dork. And everybody like laughed.
Right.
Like, what a total idiot, you know?
Yeah. So, we're on the Titanic, and
oh my God, you're on the Titanic?
Not really.
You gotta sit down, Sarah, for his joke.
It's sort of a long joke. Just take a seat. You thought we were on the Titanic right now? You walked into my house.
No, I felt like you were really, were you really on the Titanic?
No.
No, he's starting to tell a joke.
Oh, it's the start of a joke.
So why would he lie? Well, like, why do you be like, whatever.
Just hang on.
It's not a lie. It's not a lie. It's the start of a fun joke.
Okay.
Once upon a time.
Wait, is this on the Titanic? Are you doing a different one? Why don't you just
I was
going
to do a different one.
I want to hear the Titanic one.
The moment passed for that one.
Okay.
You can't stop the momentum of a joker. It just pushes him on to
just
the next
move
joke.
Move on. Any interruption at all, you'll never hear the end of it.
Okay.
Three cats sitting on the fence post. One cat says to the other, what I wouldn't give for a bowl of milk. The second cat says to the first cat, I got a bowl of milk this morning over at the farmer's house.
We see Sarah checking her iPhone.
Okay.
Going through all her social media.
Okay, excuse me.
What?
I was telling you a joke there.
What?
We were going to sort of sit back and luxuriate in the long-form yarn spinning.
Yeah, it's kind of like getting in a hot tub. You just got to let it.
But, like, I don't even, like, what? Who cares? Like, these cats can talk or whatever. Like, they're hungry. Why don't you just say these cats are hungry? And then they can get a bowl of milk.
Well, who cares what kind of minion you are? I saw that's what you were doing on your phone, a quiz to tell you which type of minion you are.
Yeah, I'm the one with
So who cares about that?
Everybody. It's
Nobody.
Like important. Everybody does.
No, it's just something to do.
No,
and it's... sitting around listening to an old man tell a joke is also something to do. It's better than finding out which type of minion you are. For fuck's sake, the whole thing is that they're all the same.
But, like, figure out what kind of minion you are is, like, interactive. Like, and answer all these questions and then the answer is like,
interactive?
Funny.
Okay.
It's a bunch of radio buttons.
I don't want my grandfather arguing with my best friends.
I'm sorry.
Grandpa, tell the joke about the squirrel and his nut.
Now, a long time ago, I took a train ride out to New Orleans. I sat next to a man even older than myself. He'd fought in the First Great War. And he told me how when he was lying in a trench south of France, he saw a squirrel hopping along the Rhone. The red squirrel, the type they have in Europe, not the gray squirrels that you're familiar with here.
Uh-huh.
The United States. God bless America. And so this red
squirrel.
Is this
real?
No, it's
no.
not real. It's a joke.
Sarah, he was a good quarter into that joke, too. At the end, the Red Skrull is communist, and he's got tiny nuts.
Oh, well, that's kind of like...
But you blew it.
Well, it was like forever, okay? Like, why wouldn't you just tell that story if it was like a true story? You've never been on a train ride with a guy from World War One.
No.
Okay, never. And then like, you're painting these pictures in the trenches like it's going to be this horrible thing.
It's an old way of telling a joke. You start it as something that someone else told you at a particular time.
Uh-huh. But this guy never told you that.
No.
Okay, so did you like make this whole thing up, or did you hear this from somebody else?
Not exactly.
We see the grandfather just getting really, really mad, and he storms out of the room.
Gotcha.
And Sarah storms out of the house, and I follow. Sarah, you really pissed him off. You really pissed off my grandfather.
Well, I'm sorry, but he was being like a total dork.
Oh, you shouldn't have said that. And we see up in the window, the second floor, the grandfather had heard that whole insult. And he clenched his fist. And then we see Sarah go back to her own house and go to sleep. And when she wakes up, she finds herself in this metal room with a... She's strapped to like a kind of a dentist chair.
Oh my God.
She tries to move her arms.
What the fuck?
And suddenly over the microphone.
Hello, Sarah.
Oh my God. What are you doing?
You don't like to listen to jokes, do you?
No, it's just that they were too long. I would have listened, but. You know,
I kidnapped you and I strapped you into this dentist chair here.
Oh my God.
I'm going to tell you a nice long joke.
Oh God. Why? Just let me go, please.
Once upon a time, a boy named Jack and his mother were complaining about their cow.
And the joke went on and on. It stretched for days and days, stretched into weeks. Search parties were sent out for Sarah, but she was never found. 7 years later.
So then the sheriff says to Jack, "It's not a golden goose, you fucking idiot. It's a goose that lays the golden egg."
As the joke finishes... And she almost feels she's confused whether she can't tell what's funny or torturous anymore. And suddenly the light of the outside hits her eyes as a SWAT team burst in. There she is. We found her. Are you Sarah Michaels?
Yes, that's me.
Are you laughing or crying?
I don't know. I don't know.
We cut to her in front of a press corps, tons of flash bulbs going off in her face. Sarah Michaels, is it true that you heard one joke for 7 years, and that's all? The only communication you had with the outside world?
Yes. Oh, this is all too much.
What was the punchline of the joke? Was it funny?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't funny. It was basically the fairy tale Jack and the Beanstalk.
You guys, what do you mean?
Can you tell the joke?
No, I can't. Don't
please, people. She's been in a terrible situation. If you respect her space, we'd really appreciate that. It's okay, Sarah. It's okay. We'll take care of you. And she went back to family life and pretty much didn't leave the house for about a year, but then finally worked her way up into going out on a date that she was set up with.
Yeah, that's me. I was abducted.
You were the Sarah Michaels.
Yeah, there. Yeah. That was me.
Wow.
Yeah.
I remember when that first happened.
Right. Yeah.
So can you not hear any jokes?
Well, no. I mean, it's okay. It's fine to tell.
So I can tell a joke?
If you want to, I guess so. But, you know, why don't we just...
Profile did say I like someone with a sense of humor.
Right. And I do have a sense of humor. It's more observational, though, rather than long-form joke style.
I love observational humor.
Yeah.
So you were able to do observational humor when you were under...
No,
you're in captivity?
I wasn't really allowed to speak because I couldn't interrupt the joke. Anytime I interrupted the joke, he would start over again.
Oh, my God.
So
you know, I kind of shut off a part of my brain and went into that part. And in my mind, you know, about the story he was saying, I would, you know, observe things. I would be like, did you ever notice how Jack and his mom have a fucked up relationship, you know, stuff like that.
So to cope with captivity, you started doing your own observational right. humor on the storytelling joke.
Yeah, just to myself. Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. So, you know, it was a long 7 years. But anyway.
And we see that inspired her because she started telling her observations about Jack and the Beanstalk to this date. And even though that date never turned into a long relationship, she started to write a book which became a bestseller called I Know Jack, and then a sequel to the book I Don't Know Jack. And she's at a bookstore doing a signing. Now she's rich and famous with this her hilarious Jack and the Beanstalk parody series. When suddenly her publisher, hey, Sarah, I don't want to interrupt you, but I just heard over the news that that old guy that put you in captivity, he just escaped from prison. He escaped from prison earlier today. So just a heads up.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Well.
He must be really old now, though, but he did escape.
Yeah, he was a grandfather. He was an old man when I was.
Ring, 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 ring. Oh. Unknown number. Ring, 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 ring. Unknown number.
Hello?
Why, hello?
No. No. What are you doing?
Oh.
Please.
I'm going to grab a greyhound down to where you are.
No, no.
You know the thing about these greyhound buses?
What? No.
As I discovered once, please riding don't. A greyhound in 1971.
No, please. Please.
Bought a ticket, a paper ticket, back in the day when they had such things.
How is he? How are you not
aboard
dead?
The bus.
How are you not dead?
Seated myself next to a friendly woman with a beehive haircut.
You're human. I don't think he's a human.
Hair was so big.
Slow fade the into black.
Crap on YouTube.
Okay, do you want another video, guys?
Sure.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay, this is like a Indian PSA, and it's about ending open defecation in public.
What is it that inspired us to fight for independence without violence? What is it that drives the national team to overcome even the fiercest opposition?
This is from
what is it that makes Indians work so hard for economic progress? Commitment and pride of our country. India is ready for another epic achievement. Ending open defecation. Help make India a clean and happy country. It is in our hands.
You got a poop in your hands? Why was the hands reference? I didn't understand that. Did you?
They do wipe with their hands, traditionally.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you wipe with your ass. You with water and you wipe your ass. Yeah, you know, we're not far from, you know, people develop their own sort of new customs around this stuff however they want. Ours are kind of weird. Toilets are weird. You know, squatting is a much more natural way to defecate. So but we like chairs, so we have chairs, you know. It's like we're close, you know. It's like we think about it, it's like, ooh, gross. But like every single person listening to this is taking a shit like today if they haven't already. So, you know, you're pretty close to it. It's just they're saying like don't go out into like a grassy bush. Don't go out into like a bush and some grass to take your dump. Like find a better place to do it. But you wonder, is there a better place to do it, you know?
I went to Crete with my wife and we rented an apartment for whatever 5 days, and the landlord was this German lady. The only reason I say that because I was expecting a Greek lady, and I always wondered, is this a German thing she's pushing on me, or is this a Greek thing? But I think it was an island thing. But anyway, when we get there, she's like, okay, let me explain the bathroom to you. The first thing that bummed me out was there was no curtain on the shower, and there was no. And the shower was on the same floor as the toilet, and there was nothing. So there's nothing around the shower, and there's just one drain in the middle of the room. Have you guys been in a room like that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't like that. And then we couldn't put our toilet paper into the toilet, and I think that's an island thing because of the sewer system. So you'd have to put your shitty toilet paper into a trash can next to the toilet, and that bummed me out so much that right after we checked in, I was immediately telling Danielle, let's get the fuck out of here. Let's go to another – let's spend more money and go to a hotel. Which we didn't because we couldn't, but I was so bummed out by
that. If that happened to me, I would just forego toilet paper and I would just do straight shit to shower every time. Oh. Like I would just go take a shower after every shit.
Mm.
End of story.
End of story.
Yeah. I would tempt fate and flush the toilet paper down the toilet.
I think that's what we did.
Yeah, because you're like, she doesn't want you to, but right, she's but never going to not tell you. You know what I mean? Like. I would be like, oh, okay.
But that does,
okay.
That does mean that somebody on that island is going to have to like crawl through a sewer and then reach into a pipe to pull your shitty toilet paper out.
I don't think so.
And then put it in a little bag that he's got to carry back to like show his boss.
No, I don't think so. I think it's okay. I think that she's just like, I think.
Yeah, she's probably just an idiot.
No, I think that she's just like, it'll. She's probably used to like Americans like putting a big wad of toilet paper and like clogging up the toilet, right? But if you're like.
Okay, let's cut to that moment with the lady explaining it.
So you cannot put the toilet paper in the toilet.
Okay, I think I know what's happening here. I travel a lot. We are from America.
Yes, I understand.
Let me handle this, honey. We are from America, but I know a lot of Americans, they like to wrap a lot of, like a big old just cotton candy wad of toilet paper.
Just a big mitten.
Is that what you look at as?
Big oven mitten? Mitten? That's not us.
I think of it as making your hand into look like cotton candy. We don't do that. So then, I've never even gotten that. We're three squares.
It doesn't.
We're a three square.
I'm sorry. It doesn't matter. You cannot put any toilet paper in the toilet.
How about two squares? Two squares
no,
per
you
wipe.
You cannot. If you do that, it destroys our entire ecosystem. It will destroy our entire, this whole island.
We understand what you're trying to say.
Yes, you can't.
If we flush too much toilet paper, it would be annoying.
No, that is not it.
Look, we can be reasonable about this. Five squares done one at a time, two squares per flush.
No, you don't understand. There are only certain enzymes in the sewer system that it will be okay if you have.
Enzymes?
Yes, there are enzymes in our sewer system.
To break down the toilet paper?
No, they don't break down toilet paper.
One square per flush, and we'll flush an earthworm down every time we flush.
No, I'm sorry.
Honey, we can't. Where are we going
to
get earthworms?
We'll go to the tackle shop, and we'll just get a tub of earthworms.
Hey, you're assuming a lot.
Earthworm down the toilet with every little turd lump and toilet paper square. So every flush will have a little bit of turd and a single square and an earthworm. No, guaranteed.
I'm sorry.
We're American, but we're well traveled.
No.
We're solution. We come up with solutions. We're problem solvers.
Yes, please. If you would just not do that, okay, look, I am from part of Germany. I've not been there a long time. I've also lived in Russia, I understand. I've lived all over the world, okay? But please, if you cannot, just please, just you could, you know.
Well, she's gone later. I don't care what she said. If we do that earthworm thing, it's totally going to work.
I don't even remember where we landed with her. Did I say I'd piss out the window?
We cut to them 2 days into their trip. Honey, can I borrow your tin of earthworms? I ran out.
Sure. Ugh, this fucking toilet isn't flushing at all.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Shit.
No.
You get it. An earthworm just tried to crawl up my asshole.
What?
Well, I was wiping with it.
Oh, no.
Am I supposed to put it on the toilet paper after I wipe?
I was letting him sit on the seat and then flicking him anytime that he would move anywhere but towards the hole. Coming!
I'm wiping with the... Oh, God.
You don't wipe with the earthworm. No, put him on the seat and then anytime he's going...
Coming!
Right there! Anytime he's not going towards the hole, you give him a flick.
There's earthworm trails all over the commode.
That's just what it is.
What's that mean?
That's just... We're on vacation!
Don't yell at me.
Hello.
Coming. Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. I am the sheriff here in Crete.
You've got that hat.
Yes.
Oh, we heard gunshots last night.
Yes.
It sounded like firecrackers. Is that what you're asking us about?
Yes, there was a shooting. Let me ask you a question. Have you been flushing toilet paper? Done your toilet? You're the only American staying on this block.
I don't believe that.
Well, it's true.
And I don't think so. That must have been coming from one of the other apartments.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Really? Because you're the only Americans, you're the only ones here who don't have a waste basket full of shit-covered toilet paper.
I know what you're doing. You're here to make sure we have enough worms. Come in, you can inspect the worms.
What you have done by flushing earthworms down the toilet along with the toilet paper is you have made a giant monster. A giant earth paper shit monster, okay? These sewage lines are magical.
This sounds like...
I don't think you understand what you did. We're shooting at it last night. It just absorbed the bullets.
That's what the shots were?
Yes. That's what the shots were.
You know, we're here for the beaches. We're here for the shopping.
You've destroyed this island.
We're here for the
food. You've destroyed it.
We've destroyed it? Well, yeah. Then how did we have such a nice brunch already today?
Meanwhile, down at the sewer drain, just 300 yards away... I don't know, Mulder. I think that these trails can be explained as sewage leakage from the pipes. I don't believe there can be a monster made out of hundreds of... Did you hear that?
It's probably just some sewer noise.
Yeah, let's turn on our flashlights. They make their way into the giant drainage drain in that classic X-Files way where you see... flashlight beams crisscrossing in the dark. They make their way through the sewer. That's it. I heard it again, Mulder.
There's something down here.
Maybe it's just gases, gas bubbles popping.
You know, there are types of worms in the Amazon that form together into a type of macro creature. In fact, some theories say that that's how multicellular organisms started in the first place, creating all animal life, including us. I wonder if it could happen again.
Don't be ridiculous. Oh, my leg! She gets pulled down and into the sewage.
Scully!
He jumps down into a whirlpool following the monster. They're going into smaller and smaller pipes.
And they come and Mulder hits the ground. He splashes and then looks up and sees that around him is a peaceful civilization made of shit, toilet paper, and earthworms. And out steps the mayor.
Hello.
Oh, my God, Mulder, it's speaking.
I can't believe what I'm seeing.
How are you? Thanks for coming.
Thanks for coming. I was brought here by force.
Right. Well, we're a new species, a new civilization. We were recently born of you, your matter, your...
Not me. I put all my toilet paper in a little bin next to the toilet.
What is bothering you?
Okay, one more scene. This can come from a word, a question, or a crap on YouTube, or you just have to get something off your chest, something that's been bugging you lately. How about that?
I've this has just been on my mind. I know this is a common observation, but I am really blown away by how many people are just shamelessly looking at their phones when you're driving. I've been on the freeway recently and not even stopped in traffic. And I've started to do sort of a game with myself where I look at a car and bet whoever I'm driving with whether or not that they will be on their phones. And they're always on their phones. Like it's not like people are shamelessly just looking down while they're driving. And if you look at any random car, it's not even that you see it often. It's that it's almost universal. It's completely ubiquitous at this point. And, I guess I've been guilty of it in my life. I don't think very often. I've knocked off a text or something when I'm driving. But under very limited circumstances, I'd like to give myself credit for it. But I maybe if somebody caught me, they would look at me and say, I'm part of the problem. But it really is bizarre that I can be on the 405 going 60 miles per hour and look at five different cars.
Right.
And in every single car, the person is like looking down and thinking about something else on the road. They'll have the phone literally up, or if you just watch somebody, they will look down. So everybody is doing their sort of parallel like web browsing and email and texting while they're driving at high speed on the freeway. It's very strange, and it makes me surprised that there aren't just more deaths. And maybe there are, but I'm surprised that people even have the capacity to do it well enough, which I guess they seem to. I don't know. It's but it does. It's more than ever, and I'm not wrong because I've always sort of noticed it, and now it really is the survey. This is anecdotal, but you just look around. You should do it when you're driving. Like look around and
see what's everybody. A guy ran into me just last night or two nights ago, and it was just a tap, but it was on a merger ramp. He ran into me because he's on his fucking phone.
Yeah.
I was looking right at him, and then I stopped my car, and he can't go anywhere because of a merger ramp. So I stopped my car, and I got out, and I go – dude, you just ran into me. And he goes, no, I didn't. This fucking car is sitting there touching my car. Motherfucker.
I'm just going to drop you off at school and then get on with the rest of my day, okay?
Just text me, Mom. Jesus.
Just talk to me, okay? I can't really text while I'm driving.
Okay, well, then you don't get to talk to your son.
But I just want to know what's going on in your life.
I'll tell you what's going on. I'm texting with my friends. I'm on a couple group threads. I'm into that new emoji they released, the dragon.
Oh. Okay.
Rip, rip.
Oh, oh.
Rip,
oh,
rip.
Oh, oh, oh. I'm being pulled over. Okay.
Whatever,
they,
Mom.
And they pull over.
Oh, yes. Hi.
Hello, okay. Ma'am. Can I see your driver's license?
Oh, sure. Was I doing something wrong?
Yes, ma'am, you were. You were recklessly driving because were you looking at your son while you were driving? Were you looking over at your son?
Well, I was just glancing at him while I was trying to talk to him.
So you admit you had given him a hard glance?
Just I kind of peeked over at him. I don't think I was looking at him.
Ma'am, you need to have your eyes on the road. He starts to make out a ticket.
Oh, okay.
It's very dangerous. We like to tell people this is about safety on the road, not who's in the passenger seat. If you need to talk to someone in the passenger seat, just send them a simple text, a simple Snapchat.
Oh.
Or if you're going to talk to them for a while, just Periscope with them. Set your phone right out there on your steering wheel. Get the Periscope going. And there you go. You can talk to someone right next to you.
Okay. I'm not that familiar with Periscope. And, I'm not a fast texter.
So you'd rather just drive and recklessly just look at whoever you want to in the car,
oh,
like
no,
a maniac while
no.
People, other cars are right in front of you.
I'm sorry.
Looking not to be hit.
Right. I'm sorry. I'll learn to text. I'll learn to text better. I apologize. Is there any way I could get off with a warning?
All right, ma'am. I'll tell you what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to let you off with a warning, but please never look at your family again while you're driving.
Okay, I promise. I promise I'll just text or Snapchat, with my son from now on. I'm so sorry.
And I suppose, well, before I let you off with this warning, let's just run through the emojis and their meaning, just so I know that you know.
Oh, of course I know.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's dragon mean? Dragon breathing fire, what's that mean?
Well, that's a new one.
Still has meaning.
It means you're running a little late.
It means I'm running a little late. Dragon with the fire? Okay. Okay, good. So I got that one right?
You got that one right.
Okay, great.
Don't you cops have better stuff to do than pull my mom over?
Teddy, shh, quiet.
You guys pulled over my girlfriend last week. You said that she was thinking about Scandal. Said she was thinking too hard about Scandal when she was driving. She was distracted and that she should just put the show on in the car.
How did we know that she was thinking about Scandal? Unless she was.
Yeah, well.
You could just tell.
Yeah, she was kind of staring off into space thinking about what was going on there.
Furrowed brow. You could tell.
You guys made her get another iPad and one of those little sucky suction cup things to put up in her car so she can just watch it while she's driving. So she wouldn't be thinking about it so much.
We cut to the next day on the way to school.
You haven't answered my text, Teddy. You haven't answered my text. Stop texting with your friends and answer my text.
I'm sending Jesus, Mom. I sent the text you sent me around to my friends and we're all making fun of it.
Teddy.
He opens up a video on his phone.
Teddy.
Oh, yeah.
Teddy.
She has to look. She sees a some naked teenager on Snapchat.
Teddy. Yeah.
Whatever.
Vrip, vrip.
Oh, damn it.
Vrip, vrip.
Hello. Hi, officer.
Oh, don't hi me. What is your problem? Do you not respect human life?
I do.
What were you doing? I saw your red leaf again. I was like, that's her. And then sure enough, you're looking over at him.
Well, I'm sorry. My son was looking at teenagers having sex on Snapchat.
Not teenagers, my friends.
Oh, God, Teddy. That's awful.
That's what we do. We send each other short videos of us fucking each other.
Teddy, you see.
And you thought you needed to look at a video of teenagers fucking?
Well, I just wanted to see what my son was looking at. I told him to I texted him to stop. I texted him to stop. He wasn't reading my texts. He was ignoring my texts.
And you can't discipline your child with enough frowny faces that he doesn't want to look at a video?
I'm periscoping this right now.
Stop it, Teddy. Put that away. Stop it.
They like you, dude. They like this cop.
Cool. And so after being pulled over a couple of times for this, her license was taken away to the point that she had to go to driver school to learn how to drive in this modern era.
All right, so we're going to be taking our car lesson tomorrow for people with the last names starting with A through M. But today we're just going to go over some defensive rules here. These are both recommendations from our program as well as from the laws of the state of California and the DMV here. Okay, so we recommend that you have no more than four screens going in your car at any given time. So for our purposes, what's a screen? It could be a tablet. It could be the touch screen of your dashboard. It could be your smartphone.
Mr. Casey?
Yes.
What if I'm driving and I'm periscoping mm-hmm. with the person I'm driving towards,
okay.
as you recommended.
Yeah, you don't need to say periscope. You can just say driving. It's all in one under the one umbrella.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. But then I see another driver, and I see that he's not on social media. Mm-hmm. Should I text the police and say I'm worried?
We'll be monitoring your periscopes most of the time, so I'd say just race up behind him so that you can get a nice video of his license plate, get as close to him as you can, and tap the phone with your other hand to make sure that it's getting the license plate in focus.
And should I send out hearts or
– let other people send hearts to you. People will send hearts because you are capturing the license plate of someone who's driving irresponsibly.
Okay, I get it. Thanks.
Yes.
Well, this one time.
Could you text me this question?
Well, I feel like I need to say it. It's
okay.
This one time I was on a bus.
She takes so long to talk that everyone immediately goes to their social media, and we just hear click, 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 as she battles her way through this.
Man who only had one leg. But then he said to me,
"What does the dragon mean again?"
I think you're late for a ride.
It's going to take a while. Yeah,
it's going to take a while.
And so. He told me to always remember to. And then he.
We're teenagers.
So.
We're both teenagers.
So then.
I can't believe we're filming this. We're teenagers.
My pussy ate a mouse.
What?
What? For the first time.
What?
In a long time, people turn their heads towards her, not looking at her through Skype or.
I said, "My pussy ate the mouse." My pussy ate the mouse.
And then we see her driving with her son to work when he's not paying attention to her, and she uses the same strategy.
And then it was a man, and he was on a bus, and then my pussy ate the mouse.
What, Mom?
I said, "My pussy ate the mouse."
And her son, Teddy, looked at her for the first time in probably months, and they had a real human connection as he laughed at this blue-collar joke Mom, about the pussy, great. And they finally connected for the first time since his dad had died. And a pussy ate the mouse. We pull in, and that's the title of a book, and we pull out, and she's at a book signing. And I just want to, my name's Matt, and I just want to say you changed my life because social media was just destroying my life, and I feel like it was destroying human connection. And once I got that pussy ate the mouse joke, I feel people wanted to connect with me one-on-one. As a human again, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I understand. It was, you know, the computers were taking over.
Yeah.
The computers were kind of taking over.
I saw on Reddit that you stole that joke from a grandma.
Excuse me?
I saw on Reddit, there's a big thread on Reddit about how you actually stole that joke from a grandma.
Oh, well, the art of storytelling is passed down from generation to generation.
Suddenly a time rift opens. Drunk. A naked man appears and makes his way towards her.
No. No.
Strong. He turns into a golden goose, and the bill of the goose becomes really sharp.
The goose is made of gold.
The gold shoots through her forehead and kills her. The robots are in control again. Just to say, a bigger speech. Folks, an improv three humans. We were supposed to have Chad Carter on here. He texted me and said he got a gig last minute. Hey, man. Probably they heard he was going to be doing my show. They're like, we need to hire that motherfucker. Neil, what's going on? When's Ghostbusters coming out?
Comes out in mid-July, July 16th.
And where can they find you online, or do you even care to be found?
I got a Twitter, not Neil Casey, and I do a show called The Smokes every Monday at UCB at 6:30. It's a pretty great improv show.
Pretty great, guys. That's the quote on the billboard. What about you, Pam?
At Murphy Please on the Twitter and murphyplease.com. And you can see me every Tuesday at 7 at the UCB Theater in a show called Tuesday Club.
Oh, I heard about that show.
It's pretty great.
I did hear about it. What was the premise?
We are a club or a group of improvisers, and we're a club, and we induct a new member every week. Oh. Into our club, into our special Tuesday club. And so they improvise with us. It's an improv show.
Surprised I wouldn't improv show.
Well.
And what about your CISO show? The UCB show, yes, on CISO.com.
The UCB show on CISO.
And your episode's already up, right?
Yeah, I think it was the first one.
Oh, it was the first one. I forgot.
Yeah.
We shot them out of order. That's right.
Yeah. And watch the CISO show. Watch the UCB show on CISO.
You're a terrible plugger. I had to remind you of something to plug. Did you not want to plug that?
No, I just didn't really know what funny to say. That. I forgot to do, you know.
CISO.com, humans.
Yeah, CISO.com.
All right, keep being human.
Humans, today is the day to support Matty B. His stand-up special, entitled Bessa Breaks the Record, is now available on CISO.com. This new comedy platform also has the new comedy variety show, called UCB Show, with lots of improv for humans regulars. Also, Kids Lahore, Monty Python, and much more. Come on, comedy nerds, only $5 for a month subscription. Be a good human and subscribe to CISO.com today. Music by Dragoon. This has been Improv for Humans.
What is the mysterious secrets of Uncle Bertie's botanarium?
Nettled Spaghettarium Nocturnum. The night spaghetti.
It looks like spaghetti.
Yes, but specifically when you eat it at night.
Why, none other than the biggest, boldest Howl original show yet.
I've seen a crab with seven legs.
Starring Jemaine Clement in a truly original fantasy adventure.
Oh, what's that awful smell, Solinter?
That's the sea air, sir.
Experience the mysterious secrets of Uncle Bertie's botanarium today, only on Howl. This has been an Earwolf production, executive produced by Scott Aukerman, Adam Sachs, and Chris Bannon. For more information and content, visit earwolf.com.
Hey, this is Arnie Niekamp from the improv fantasy podcast Hello from the Magic Tavern. I fell through a dimensional portal behind a Burger King in Chicago into the magical land of Foon, and I started a podcast. Season 3 has just begun with a brand new adventure to defeat the Dark Lord. If you're a new listener or you've fallen behind, Season 3 is a great jumping on point. And we've got great guests like Justin McElroy.
I sound like a fancy college professor. Eight nuts.
Rachel Bloom.
You want to see my collection of men corpses and one woman?
Felicia Day and Colton Dunn.
You've seen me have intercourse with a variety of species.
It's a bummer.
Andy Daly.
You have the members of Genesis listed, but Phil Collins has crossed out and then circled and crossed out again.
Yes, I have killed Phil Collins twice.
Thomas Middleditch.
Jesus! I mean, Jazos! Ruler of the Eighth Circle!
And that's just the beginning. Season 3 of Hello from the Magic Tavern is out now. Listen in Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.